You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. If you take a classic American comfort food, macaroni and cheese, and you update it with handcrafted artisan cheeses and specialty pastas, you have entered the world of Garrett McCord and his new book titled Melt, The Art of Macaroni and Cheese. He just set it on the desk aside of me, and I am sure there is steam coming up from the cover. Garrett is a Sacramento food writer and blogger, and just in time for a change in seasons, he's in our studio. Welcome to Insight.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
So with this book, you must be hearing all kinds of mac and cheese stories everywhere.
You know, we have been, and it's nice because it's a food everyone's pretty much familiar with, and the most interesting thing is we've been learning not just everyone has their own recipe, but we're finding different nationalities have their own different recipes. We've seen Tibetan mac and cheese. We've seen, Chinese-American versions. We've seen Mexico, and it's been really educational. It makes me realize, you know, there's so much more than what's even in the book.
Yeah, and we call it American. What is the origin of this recipe?
You know, I don't think that we can pin it down to any one origin. I think it's just one of those dishes that is every single culture sort of has their own version, pretty much.
Chef Taro from Mikuni was here a little bit ago, and he was talking about sushi. And he said the thing about sushi is the rice. It's mm-hmm. not the fish. So in mac and cheese, is it about the cheese or the mac?
I think you have to have both really quality ingredients. You need to have good pasta and you need to have good cheese. And part of the focus was this book was to, you know, one, look at great pasta, not just the, you know, dollar stuff you can buy at the store, but, you know, really handcrafted pastas. But simultaneously, really handcrafted artisan cheeses, getting away from the blue box, getting away from powders that make mac and cheese, from just the simple orange blocks, which, you know, no love lost. I keep one in my house at all times because it's a good snacking food. But showing people that these are really great cheeses, that they're nothing to be intimidated about, especially when you go see that wall of cheese over at the store. Feeling okay to cook with them.
I have to read one of the reviews here. Think macaroni and cheese is almost always the same. Think grilled peaches with Humboldt fog and orzo, homemade breadcrumbs, fresh paneer, Mornay sauce that will leave you drooling. Melt made me hungry and happy. What did you do to mac and cheese in this book?
You know, we took the basic concept of one classic, you know, I'm going to put this in quotes, American recipe, and decided that my co-author Stephanie and I, we wanted to just explore the world of artisan cheese. Wine is getting a lot of press with people, artisan fruit, you know, small vegetables, and yet cheese is still really scary for most people. They'll go to places like Taylor's Market or the Court or Cordy Brothers, and they'll just see this entire cheese case and don't know where to start.
Right.
So this was a great chance for us to introduce the topic. And make it a little less scary and say that you can cook with these great cheeses and pair with them and just enjoy them in a variety of interesting recipes.
In fact, another review said that although this book says it's about macaroni and cheese, it is really about cheese. And
it
you're
is.
Teaching a lot about how to cook with cheese and what cheeses melt well, which blend well.
We made sure to make this as educational as possible without it being one of those textbook books about cheese, which there are plenty of, and there's encyclopedias on cheese, and they're educational, they're great, but they can be a little dry. This one goes into the history of cheese, you know, the history of pasta, how cheeses are made. We go into everything from those little crunchy crystals that you find in really hard cheeses and how they're formed to just how they melt. So to make the subject more approachable.
It is a cookbook that you can read.
There is
a lot of reading, even though the photos are gorgeous.
We did our best to make sure this was, the recipes are extremely well tested. We actually had 85 recipe testers throughout the United States. It was like herding 85 cats all with food allergies. Super fun. But it was great.
And I hope everybody heard you say that.
Oh.
Herding 85 cats with food allergies.
And we made sure to actually make the whole book, you know, even the instructions are, the directions are very conversational, very, very friendly. I mean, at one point, my editor actually put an ultimatum. We were only allowed to have one Molly Ringwald reference per book. New standard for the publisher, Little Brown. I thought that was very unfair. But
So you had your challenges.
Indeed. How can you only imagine?
Hey, in the kitchen, speaking of challenges, there are some cheeses that don't bake well that you want to stay away from for making mac and cheese or other dishes.
Indeed. There are some cheeses that don't melt well. Hard cheeses like Parmesan, really hard-aged cheddars, anything that's got that really crumbly texture to it, they're aged so much that they don't really melt well. You can grate them super fine and sort of incorporate them, but they'll never actually melt properly. They're best added at the top of your dish as a finishing cheese or mixed with breadcrumbs, and it'll sort of create a crackery crust over your macaroni and cheese.
How about some cheeses people might not think of to use with pasta?
Cheeses to not use. You know,
No, that people might not think of. Some great discoveries that you had.
You know, there is one cheese that I've recently discovered that's a Dutch cheese called Kokos. And it's a Dutch Gouda, but what they do is they add coconut milk in with the regular milk before aging it. And it becomes this fine, very sweet, coconut-flavored cheese. It melts perfectly, pairs well with champagne and fruit. But we've started adding that on top of pizzas. We like to add it into some macaroni and cheeses, you know, with slivers of mango in it, some fresh sausage. It's bright, it's perky, and it's very unexpected. And, you know, add that to a mac and cheese with breadcrumbs tossed with, you know, flaked coconut, and you'll have something really interesting. And now that I'm coming up with this, I wish it were in the book. But but we do use Kokos in the book. It's a fabulous recipe.
Spell the name of the cheese.
K-O-K-O-S. Okay. And I know you can find it at the Cordy Brothers store.
I am speaking with food writer Garrett McCord. You could check out his blog, by the way, for ideas like that. The blog is Vanilla Garlic, and it looks at how life and food intertwine. He's a recipe tester. He's written for Gourmet Live, the James Beard Award-winning Epilogue. He's written for Huffington Post, of course, here, the News and Review, and Edible Sacramento. Do you have a favorite mac and cheese recipe yourself?
A favorite in the book right now is, you know, pumpkins are in season right now.
Yeah.
We have this beautiful pumpkin recipe in here. If I can find it for you, it's you take a small sugar pumpkin. You can use a kabocha or any of your favorite squashes. You pre-roast it, salt and pepper the inside, fill it with pasta, chorizo or Italian sausage, fontina, cheddar, a little bit of Gruyere, and some fresh vegetables. And then you fill it with cream because that just makes life a little bit better. And bake it. And so it's a gratin baked into a pumpkin. And the roasted pumpkin flavors the cream, and then when you serve it, it's this beautiful, epic dish that just everyone thinks you put the most work into, you know, your whole day into. It couldn't be further from the truth. It's very simple, very easy, and you just scoop out the gratin, the pasta gratin out of there, filled with cheese, filled with roasted pumpkin,
and it sounds
just
so good.
You know, that recipe in all the reviews, it's one of the major recipes everyone's been going to. You can find it online for sure.
Is it called pumpkin mac and cheese?
You know, I think it's mac and cheese roasted in a pumpkin. I can't.
Go ahead, look it up, because I'd rather hear it now and be sure. Oh, that just sounded so wonderful. I wish I could do one of those little pumpkins at everybody's place setting at Thanksgiving. What about while you're looking, bacon mac and cheese?
I think bacon is definitely something here we go. Found it. It's pumpkin stuffed with fontina, Italian sausage, and macaroni.
Okay. There we go. What page?
Page 128.
Page 128 of Melt.
You know, pork has a great spot in macaroni and cheese. There's plenty of recipes in this that use bacon, porchetta. Lots of great chicken, turkey. We even got for now that Turkey Day is coming up, we have these wonderful recipes that actually use your Turkey Day leftovers.
So, in a mac and cheese.
Yes, and you know, after you've stuffed yourself silly, it's mac and cheese with an egg-laced Mornay sauce. You know, cheese, use your leftover cranberry sauce. You cook it up in muffin tins so you actually have something pleasantly portioned so you can start pacing it all out after the major meal. Serve it with your leftover cranberry sauce, and it's Easy, simple, great way to use up all your leftovers.
Well, artisan cheeses are hot. And I'm reading that what distinguishes your book is that it does focus on the cheeses in that way with mac and cheese, mm-hmm. unlike any other book. So just a final thought here about why we're all so artisan minded, why there's so much appeal right now to this handcrafted cheese movement.
Well, I think part of it is everyone wants to now support their local economies, and part of that includes supporting your local dairies. And those local dairies are producing foods that you can't get anywhere. If you really want a taste of what your region is like, you're eating milk which is produced by local animals, which are eating, you know, the local plants, the local grasses. It's a taste of the terroir of your region. It's a chance to connect, I think, with where you live. And cheese is just the same as the fruits, the vegetables, and the meats that we eat. And I think dairy and cheese is just now starting to get some of that recognition that we've been giving to farmers markets and local eggs, local chicken, things like that.
Lovely. It's a lovely thought and a beautiful book.
Thank you. We've actually, if you want to taste some things from it, we've got an event coming up at Taylor's Market this Sunday at 4:00 through the Tasty Books program. So.
Okay, we'll link information to our website.
All right, thank you so much.
Garrett McCord's new book is Melt, The Art of Making Macaroni and Cheese. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our senior producer is Jen Picard. Our producer is James Morrison. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Our executive producer is Joe Barr. Enjoy that mac and cheese. Thanks for joining us.
Please, baby, please. Let's turn it up 400 degrees. Girl, I want to melt that cheese. Cheddar, cheddar, jack, jack, girl. Bring it back, back. That can't be jelly, you shake it like...